Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
I'm just going to read out a tweet from David Quinn. David Quinn is, of course, a columnist and the head of the Iona Institute. And he tweeted this yesterday. He said, "The built world around you, men did that. Your house, car, street, plumbing, electric wiring, etc. Men. Let's say something nice about men today." And it did spark a huge response. He's quite right. I'm no doubt that's why he said it. But a huge reaction on social media. And earlier on today, he spoke with Jonathan Healy on the Pat Kenny Show. And let's just hear what he had to say.
"So I don't put something up simply for the sake of provocation. I put it up because I believe it's true and that it needs to be said. And I think here we had this incontrovertible fact causing such a fuss on Twitter. But let's always bear in mind, Twitter is not the real world."
So it needs to be said. Is that the case? Do we need to pay more tribute to the hard work of men? Is that where we're at? Joining me now on the line to discuss this is Senator Ivana Bacik. Ivana, you've probably seen the tweet and you heard there what David had to say. Did it need to be said? It needs to be put out there that we're not giving enough praise to men.
Well, good afternoon. Good afternoon. I'm somewhat flummoxed by it. I think the quote from Camille Paglia that David Quinn was referring to, I think, is self-evident that many men have clearly been involved in building and the predominance of men in construction industry and so on is again self-evident. But I certainly would disagree with the conclusion that somehow one can then suggest that men should get credit for building the world or for building most of the physical environment of the world. Because, of course, if one looks back at the Industrial Revolution, one sees women as much as men employed in factories, employed in a great deal of that heavy work at that time. We see women also, of course, providing the essential work for the fuel, to fuel the Industrial Revolution and the industrialization of countries like our own, like Britain, like Europe and so on. Because they, of course, were also bringing up children and running households and so on. So I think, whatever Mr. Quinn may say, it's a provocative comment, I think, intended.
And I think it was. And in fact, I think it may have done what he set out to do in that he did provoke debate. But do you feel somewhat sorry for the likes of David Quinn? He is a conservative, he's a man, he grew up with a certain set of expectations about his position in the world. And I suppose, he was accusing people of being overly sensitive, but I can feel his pain. I feel his own sensitivities that he's struggling with the fact that maybe the position he had hoped to have in the world has been somewhat eroded.
That's very noble of you, Ciara, to feel the pain of a man who feels
you
that way.
You have to feel for him, Ivana.
I think, look, the reality is, that men retain the position, most positions of power in the world. Men still dominate in terms of senior levels in jobs, in terms of gender pay gap. And we saw a great deal of new data on that last week with the British gender pay gap regulations coming into effect. And we see a really significant gender pay gap in most workplaces where men are consistently earning more than women, where men are consistently outnumbering women in senior ranks, even in sectors where women have been coming in equal numbers for years. And, I know this from my own background in law. We've done research on women and men in the legal professions and found that, again, there are unconscious biases and structural issues that prevent women from succeeding to the same extent in careers. And we need to do things to tackle that. In politics, we've done something about this through gender quota legislation. But clearly, we need to be proactive about, for example, recruitment, promotion, work-life balance strategies in workplaces to ensure that women are given the same chances as men. So, I think to feel sorry for a conservative man who, I think that's probably misplaced. I think really what we need to do is look at how we make our workplaces and our society better for both women
yes,
and men.
Yeah,
and indeed, to give men credit and to give men room to be active as fathers, and for far too long we've utterly ignored the role of men as carers and as fathers. And I think we're changing that now with paid paternity leave for the first time and with the recent proposals to increase the levels of paid paternity leave and to require yeah. men to take paternity leave. I think these are all very positive developments for women and men in society generally.
No, and I take your point, and I do, and I mean, I accept what you're saying. I accept that, you know, men obviously dominate the halls of power in terms of government, and they have the greater accumulated wealth, and obviously the gender pay gap favours them. But is that really enough? Should we not be actually praising them as well, Ivana? Because obviously some people feel that they're not, I mean, they may have all the money and the power, but that isn't really enough if we're not actually praising them too. Is there not more we could be doing to assuage maybe the feeling that you have, that horrible sense of privilege being eroded? It must be hard.
I don't really accept that. I think where we do need to do more is to look at statistics where men outnumber women in a very negative fashion. And I mean, my own background again is a criminal lawyer, and certainly in criminal statistics and crime statistics around the world, this is not unique to Ireland, we see men much more likely to be criminalised than women, much more likely to be incarcerated in prison than women. It's also obviously not just gender. We also look at class, we look at ethnicity and age as being factors that are significant risk factors in terms of criminalisation and incarceration. So that's an area where we clearly need to do more. And, you know, criminologists are now increasingly looking at what it is about the way we bring up young boys that makes them more likely to come into contact with the criminal law. What can we do to address that? So for far too long, I suppose, there was sort of a truism among criminologists that we looked at why were so few women being imprisoned or being criminalised compared to men. Now, much better perspective says we must look at why are so many men, why are so many young men from particular yeah. backgrounds being criminalised, and let's do something about that. So that's what I say, that, you know, feminist theorising, feminist policy is really about looking at making society better for women and men, making men, you know, looking at the way we bring up boys and girls to ensure that men are encouraged and indeed facilitated and supported in taking up caring roles, and that we do something about addressing issues around over-criminalisation of young men too.
The reason I'm saying this is obviously there is an anger there that needs to be addressed, because if you look at the text, Quinn is right on the money, but feminists don't want to hear it because it jars with the narrative they are pushing, that men are the source of evil. Men are too busy working to take to social media with hysterical hashtags like sheep feminists. It's popular to bash men, and we can't be arsed arguing with you. It's not worth it. Another texter says Irish women lazy, fat and overpaid. Jerry says Ciara Kelly's hatred of men is obvious. Every time she opens her mouth, she is a feminist bitch. So obviously these guys are upset. I mean, should we not be trying to in some way assuage that anger? Because I know that, you know, David was saying that he feels people are being overly sensitive to him, but there's clearly a lot of sensitivity on the other side of the argument. People are referring to women as bitches, witches, all sorts of things. You know, that anger, do we need to try and, you know, understand it?
Well, it's certainly very troubling to hear some of those tweets. And I mean, you know, I know myself just how vitriolic commentary on Twitter and on social media can be. I have to say, a lot of it very, very anti-women, very misogynistic, as evidenced in some of the tweets you read out there. So I think if anyone should feel victimised, I don't think it's the men, presumably men, sending many of those tweets. I think we do need to do something to address, to do more to address this sort of level of anger. I think it is about, trying to make society more equal generally. That's good for women and for men. It means addressing all sorts of inequality, not just women being paid less than men, but also men being less acknowledged as carers, men being overrepresented in criminal statistics, as I've said.
Yeah.
And I certainly have never engaged in bashing of men. I think that's a very tired and lazy old stereotype about feminism, actually. And I think, you know, feminist campaigning now is about seeking equality, as I say, seeking a better society, seeking in particular on the 25th of May, a yes vote to repeal the 8th Amendment, of course, to try and ensure that we have access to reproductive health care for women. That's essential, to ensure we do have a more equal society. But I have so many male friends who are out campaigning for a yes vote and supporting the women in their lives. And I think that's where the future lies, actually, is in us all working together. I'm not interested in the sort of, you know, negative stereotypes about feminism. I think most men recognise those are just clichés and they're no longer true. If they are, not that they ever were, I must say.
One of the things I thought when I read David Quinn's tweet was, you know, he was saying men have built the world, and we should acknowledge that and we should praise it. where I live in Greystones. It's kind of a Victorian seaside kind of villagey place. And I was looking around and I was thinking, actually, who built the built world around me was the British. That the houses are designed by Victorian British architects, the railways, the public sewage. Should we also be praising the British? Because in a parallel with men, they were actually responsible for a huge amount of the public infrastructure in this country. You know, I do see a parallel, although I also see a parallel that the British were a colonial oppressive power. You know, would we also be praising the British, do you think, as well as the men for all of the bounty?
I don't think it's really helpful to talk in terms of praise and so on, because once you start going down that road, first of all, it sounds a little bit like the famous scene
the
in
Romans.
Life of Brian, where they're attacking the Romans. Who built the
what do they
the
ever aqueduct, do for us?
The Rome, what do they ever do for us? And of course, then we, you know, we can start to talk about the famine, about the huge devastation that was wrought in Ireland because of a particular colonial policy. So I don't think it's particularly helpful to go down that route. I think, you know, any sensible look back at history would acknowledge both the benefits and the dreadful negative effects of colonisation on Ireland. And I think that's the kind of a balanced approach to take. But I don't think praise is particularly relevant here. I think it's more about acknowledgement and about recognition. And then you look, you know, looking at moving on, looking at where our infrastructure requires improvement and where our, again, our societal infrastructure requires improvement. Clearly in housing, we need to do a great deal more now to restart the social housing programs that were in fact a major feature of our state in the middle years of the 20th century. And we need to go back to that. So, I mean, there's some things I think we do learn from the past, but equally, you know, we have to recognise pluses and minuses. So I think empty praise is not particularly helpful.
All right. Ivana Bacek there, Labour Senator. Thank you very much for that indeed. Lots of you getting involved on the text line as well. James says, hi, I think the number of people saying that the lads shouldn't be allowed to play rugby must be female driven because all the men are at work and not listening whilst they continue to build the world around us. Someone else says, I'm sick of listening to women going on about men being bad. Someone else says, amazing how some women these days have, it's all, a lot of women seem to have all this trouble, acknowledging fact. Men create companies and take risks, then women demand a place in the world that again the men created. So men created the world, and then women can whine and nag on the radio. Radios were created by men. Ivana does not see facts when it does not fit her worldview. Someone says, just a comment on David Quinn and the silly schoolgirl tittering of Ivana and Kira. Ivana, the senator and barrister, that's a schoolgirl. It's about time men took a stand. Every advert on the TV demeans the male now. I'm all for equality, but there's a certain element of feminist out there that has gone over the top. Don't forget, girls wouldn't be in the world only for men. Okay. Marie, one of our listeners, is on the line. Marie, what do you think about is Dave Quinn right? Are we not, I mean, men obviously have power and wealth in a way that women don't, but should we also be praising them more? Is that important too?
Well, my uptake on this is, I'll give you an instance, that my son and I were in town here in Limerick, and I had exited a building, and my son stayed and held the door open for a lady.
Okay.
Whereupon she tongue-lashed him. She tongue-lashed him. She said, how dare you? Do you think I am not capable of opening a door on my own? Do you think I need you to stand there and open that door for me or keep it open for me?
Okay.
And my son just looked at one another and he said, madam, I was just trying to be polite.
Yeah.
And it was like, I don't need that.
But Marie, you clearly met a rude woman, and there's no doubt about that. It's mm-hmm. mannerly to hold the door. I hold the door for people myself. I'm sure you do, and you brought up your son to do the same. And I think most of us would think that's a nice thing to do. So, but I suppose what I'm saying is you met a rude woman. Does that mean all women are what does it mean, I wonder?
What it means is, I don't know what it means. I only know that I have three sons, and I'm listening to people, you know, saying that men this, men that. I mean, there's a lot of women out there that have three sons or one son or two sons,
I have
whatever.
Three sons myself. I have three.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, you hear all this negativity about women this and men that and the other. I mean, they're all equal. For instance, my son, my eldest son, mm-hmm. we'd often have a conversation. This is the guy that door incident happened with.
Yeah.
And he often said to me, "Mum, if my wife was earning more than me and could provide for the family, I'd stay at home and look after the children.
Yeah.
There'd be no problem there." But he works in an area where he, you know, you're with communicating with people a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he would, you know, there's times there where it's a bit icky. And he just says, "I don't understand where this is all coming from, because I'm being polite. I'm doing my best to..."
But your son sounds like a decent fella, in fairness. Your son, he holds the door for people. He says clearly that if it was the setup at home was his wife was earning more than him, he, mm-hmm. he would... You know what I mean? So you've raised a good one. You've raised one who doesn't, you know, is decent and polite and nice and kind of egalitarian. Do you think that's, in the same way you met a rude woman, it's not really true that all men would view women in the way your son does either, is it, in fairness?
In fairness, no. But there's half and half. I don't know what percentage would be and would not be. Personally, myself, I can't say that. But I deal with men a lot in my business.
Do you?
A lot, because I drive buses. I deal with mechanics. Oh, yeah, I deal with guys that would be ordering parts for me. I would be dealing with people on the road. I'd be dealing with a lot of men and women. And all of the men are courteous towards me, and they'll chat and yeah. everything else.
Is that not true, though, also of most of the women you work along with as well? Would they not be courteous too?
They would be courteous. And I'm not saying they're not, but I mean, there's a minority out there that probably would take another. Like another instance is I was in a post office a good many years ago, and one guy shouted across to me, "There's one woman taking another man's job."
All right.
And like I said to him, "Excuse me, I'm self-employed. I made my own job.
Yeah.
I got off my ass and I done it myself."
But Marie, does that not bother you then about David Quinn's comments? Because he was saying men built the world, and that he includes in that the house and the car and the street and all. Whereas you work with buses, and that, you know, I'd say a bus and a car are kind of equivalent. You work mm-hmm. in transport, which is male dominated, and have every right to do so, and are probably good at it. Does it not bother you when people perceive that you're in the way and taking a man's job? Does that not bother you at all, considering you're obviously good enough at it in your own right?
No, it doesn't bother me, because I've got a better opinion of myself than what he probably had at the time. That's his problem.
Okay, last question for you. It bothered you that a woman was annoyed when your son held the door for her. It mm-hmm. doesn't bother you when a man shouts abuse at you across the street. Do you think you're harder on women than on men?
No, I'm not, because I actually said to that lady that my son didn't deserve what she said, and she was just as abusive to me. So okay,
she was very rude. In fairness, she was a clearly rude woman.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, there's a lot of things that men and women are quite capable of doing together, and I don't understand why come down hard. You have three sons yourself.
I do, and a daughter.
And a daughter. And if I had a daughter, I would be telling her, aim for the stars, do what you do.
Mm-hmm,
you know, I would stand behind you, I would push you. I won't push you, I will support you the whole way. So there's no difference. I will do the same for my sons.
Yeah.
So
no, fair enough. Do you know what? There are rude men and rude women, in fairness, isn't there?
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you start picking out who you're going to stand beside or whatever, we should stand beside one another and move forward instead of being negative. And, you know, you shouldn't have an opinion of, you see people, you hear people and say, "Oh, this fellow did this or that or the other, you know, or mm-hmm. he's a bad person." The same goes for a woman. So
okay.
just take people as they are and try and move forward.
Fair enough. Thank you for talking to me, Marie. Thanks for talking to us this afternoon. Sarah is on the line, another one of our listeners. Sarah, you saw the tweet that David Quinn put out there, "Men built the world." You've an interesting perspective on this.
Hi, Kira. Yeah, I didn't actually see the tweet, but I heard your conversation about it.
He said, "Men built the world around you. Men did that. Your house, your car, your street, your plumbing, your electric wiring. Men."
I may be an inconvenient truth so for David Quinn, because I'm a female engineer.
What? So, I didn't think you existed. Did you? But how come with all the men building the world, you even thought of going in there? There was no room for you.
No, and Kira, in my experience of working in the construction industry, I've never experienced sexism or discrimination, and I've always felt respected, you know, and I was there to do a job and everybody else was there to do a job as well. And I, in, when I was coming through college, I suppose maybe about 10% of my class were women. I think that's increased since, but there are women who build things and who make things as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. So you came up through what was largely male dominated, which was, because I think engineering and construction and all that is a male sort of industry profession largely, and no difficulties there.
No, I haven't. And I'm a member of Engineers Ireland as well. And I Engineers Ireland can speak to themselves. I'm not a spokesperson for them. But I've always found that they've been very positive in engaging women and in trying to encourage younger yeah. women to go into STEM careers like engineering and things like that.
Yeah. I have to say, I feel the same. Like a lot of women going into medicine now, but when I went into medicine, it was very male. And certainly the consultants and the hierarchy was very male. And there was huge support for women coming through. So it, I think when we say not all men, it absolutely is the case that it's not all men. But if you see some of the men who are texting in, it's definitely some men. It may not be all men, but it's definitely some men. Do you think the kind of texts, I've been slightly facetious so far today on the show, but do you think that the kind of thing that David Quinn has tweeted, it clearly was designed for a reaction and he got it, but it was designed to be antagonistic. Do you think those types of things are unhelpful?
I think polarisation is always unhelpful in any context. You see it in the North at the moment. But yeah, I think this kind of men versus women type of debate is not helpful. I think it's really what we all want is equality. You know, I have a husband, I love him, I respect him, I want him to do well in the world, he wants me to do well in the world. So I think, you know, setting men against women, and I appreciate the Iona Institute is an extremely conservative institute and doesn't represent the majority of people in Ireland, let alone men of Ireland. So
Listen, anyway, look, thank you for talking to me this morning, Sarah. Engineering Sarah there, thank you for continuing to build the world. Lots of people getting involved in this on the text line too. Elva says, as a woman, I hate the polarising effect that the gender wars, which started in US colleges, has had, and a certain thread of feminism has developed an ugly anti-men streak in their rhetoric. I think that's probably true too, but there's definitely there's anti-men and anti-women rhetoric knocking around at the moment. The gender pay gap is for numerous reasons, and for feminists to deny that at least part of it is down to women's choices is dishonest. Agree with you there too. I've always hoped in Ireland we would not take up the polarisation and avoid ugly language such as the patriarchy and white male privilege, etc., and realise that life is hard for men too, indeed often harder than it is for women. I have seen it myself with male relatives under a lot of stress. Some feel under attack. James says, you have to appreciate men support women. The feminist movement could be shut down in a heartbeat if men decided they had enough pandering to what the group, to that group that appears that they're never happy. That's a really interesting text, James, that implies implicitly there that that men still have the power to decide what women do. And that's where some of the anger comes from women. And someone says, Ciara, please continue to pursue the topic of boys. They are vilified and ill-served within our society, continually medicated by your profession just for being naturally male and continually humiliated and dismissed for their natural urges and behaviours. The book The War on Boys provides great and depressingly true insight into boys are now viewed. I actually agree with you about boys in school. I think the fact that boys are livelier often and more physically boisterous than girls works against them and how they're treated in schools. And that's probably an issue too, that a lot of our teachers now are female and a lot of boys maybe are a little bit disadvantaged that way. I agree with you. I think it's interesting how we view all this. And last I'll take from this is, and I think this is very interesting, there's so much in all of this. Someone says, Ciara, fact one of life, right? This is a fact, not an opinion. Women are mentally and physically cut out to raise children and keep the home, like my brilliant partner. Fact number two, men are physically and mentally cut out to work 70 hours a week and start at 4 a.m. every morning and earn a crust. Paul, I'm sure you do that and I'm sure you and your partner have found a really good working relationship. But the fact of the matter is lots of women don't want to mentally and physically raise children, and lots of men don't want to work 70 hours a week, and putting them all in boxes may not be the best way forward for us as a society. That's the whole thing, is that why can't we just get along? Why can't we just let people be who they are?
Thanks again for listening to this Lunchtime Live podcast. Please do subscribe via the app or on iTunes, and check us out on newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Talk to you again soon.